flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Your official station to talk Yankees. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
Johnny Jastrzemski, Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan, WFAN.
You gotta love it. Taking us back. Welcome in, JJ After Dark. John Jastrzemski on The Fan joining us. What's up, Johnny?
That's one hell of an introduction, McPherson. What's happening, bro? Hey. Always a pleasure to be on. I did about 5 minutes of bellyaching with Rosenberg about the weather for the last 2 months, so I sound like a 70-year-old man. But yes, I need some warmer weather. Yes, I need to get back on a golf course. And yes, my friend, we need this baseball season, which is right around the corner, believe it or not, to get rocking.
Yeah, props to Paulie for playing the old intro. What year was that made? What year? I was like, that took me back, man. I remember listening to you rant and rave. I remember listening to your sports betting stuff. I feel like it's been a longer time than it's been. What year did you leave The Fan?
Dude, I left the presidential term ago. It's been a while, man.
It's 2025 now, so yeah, wow.
Time flies, and that jingle is probably keep circa 2013, 2014.
That's old. That is old. But I feel like you didn't leave that long, but that I haven't heard in over a decade. That's crazy. I feel like, yeah.
Anyway. I'm glad it's still in the system. Yeah, there you
what,
go.
What a time.
Out of it, you know?
Yeah, you're still doing your thing. You're still killing it. You're doing it well. And yeah, you mentioned the baseball season. That's where I'm at. We're in this stupid 2 weeks wait for the Super Bowl. The NBA is what it is. And, you know, we've got nothing to talk about besides the NFL draft and the QB hype. But, you know, you heard Hal Steinbrenner's comments, right? You heard Aaron Boone come in here this week, right?
Of course, I saw a couple of quips. Okay, so I have some thoughts. And I did this on my pod yesterday, and I did it earlier in the week doing some TV. I have no problem, Keith, with the Yankee offseason. After losing Juan Soto, of course. I wanted Soto back. I was bummed he signed with the Mets. I don't want to relive that. But the way they've pivoted, I give them a lot of credit. I think Fried was awesome. Devin Williams was awesome. I'm a Bellinger guy. I think he's going to fit perfectly in New York. They needed something out of first base. Their production at first base was amongst the worst in baseball. Goldschmidt, even though he's a shell of the player he once was, I think he could give you 240, 250, and 20, 25 bombs, which would help him a lot. So I want to preface what I'm about to say, saying, hey, so far, so good for the most part with the Yankee offseason. Here's my problem, though, Keith. When you own the New York Yankees, Nobody wants to hear you complain about another team spending money. I'm sorry. Whether it's outrageous what the Dodgers are doing or not, you own the New York Yankees. You own the biggest brand in all of sports, right? Like, I think we'd agree with that. They're the biggest brand in sports in the world. I don't want to hear you complain about another team. That's me.
Understood. I kind of try to defend Hal and say that, you know, he was more leaning into the fact that the Guggenheim partners have these private equity firms investing and they own banks and, you know, what they're doing. I guess some teams can defer the money. Some teams can figure out how to do it. But they have a system now where they're doing it with everybody. Like, they're doing it with Tommy Edman. They're doing, you know, like, they're doing it with everybody. Otani has opened up this, like, portal for everybody to come there, defer money, and then to stack their roster. It's like a loophole. And, I mean, can't hate the player, hate the game. They're not cheating. But I understand what you're saying because, you know, Passan said it too. I talked to Passan this week. I'm like, man, where was this coming from? You know, he had a comment about, when are the Yankees third fiddle? You're the freaking New York Yankees. And my response to all that was like, no, they were the New York Yankees. I mean, they got back to a World Series, and they embarrassed themselves in a World Series. That's not what I remember watching the Yankees do in the World Series growing up. Like, the way that they're potentially going to run DJ LeMahieu out there, they ran Aaron Hicks out there, they ran IKF out there, they ran Josh Donaldson out there. They'll pitch guys like Andrew Heaney or Zach Britton. Like, you know, they just keep putting guys out there that they know are no good. Like, that's the new Yankee way. There used to be a standard, right? There used to be like a, you know, a clubhouse standard. Like, if you can't cut it, you got to go. You know, these Yankees are not the Yankees of the 90s and the early 2000s, and times have changed.
No doubt about it. They have. Now, look, I think when it comes to third base, you can get by in the short term trying to do auditions. Now, in a perfect world, I'd like to bring in another infielder to go and be a part of that mix. And no, I'm not talking Bregman for $250 million. Keith, you're going to like this. Mets aren't going to re-sign him. I would bring Iglesias in. I would 100% bring him in on a one-year deal. I don't know if he's going to be any good. I don't know if last year is a flash in the pan, but the guy clearly added something to the Mets. He's so likable. You heard Castellanos go on with, I think, I might be screwing up who he went on with. I think it was the Foul Territory guys.
And no, it was said, you know, it was Chris Rose. It was a Chris Rose reporter.
It was Chris Rose who's showing John Boy. I'm sorry about that. Yeah, so we went on with Chris and basically said, hey, Iglesias was the Met MVP for what he brought off the field, the sort of vibe and energy and good feeling that he brought to that clubhouse. I would take a shot on a one-year deal. Why not? And if you're having a little fun trolling the Mets in the process, maybe he comes up with a new song instead of OMG, it's Y-A-N. I mean, I don't know.
He's got to follow up. He can't be a one-hit wonder. I don't think the Yankees will do it. They don't want to do anything Metsy. Like, maybe a Dom Smith minor league contract, but they, like, because he blew up as Candelita.
But you know what? They won't bring him in. Remember this, bro. Remember, the Yankees signed Bob Gooden and Darryl Strawberry. As my wife is dropping everything in the kitchen right now as we speak. We all right? Everything okay?
Caitlin.
I think everything's okay. Keith, Doc Gooden and Darryl Strawberry. So, to me, they signed these iconic pillars that were, hey, dealing with a whole lot of stuff off the field. This is a classic George move to troll a little bit, but it also fills a need. The Yankees, am I right or am I wrong? Do they need a guy to go and get in the mix in that infield?
Yeah, they do.
They do.
Just at least a backup option. If Cabrera and DJ and Peraza are not in camp, you know, they do. George would do that. George would definitely do that. Hal doesn't care, and Cashman's not trying to spend another dollar till they move Marcus Stroman's money. How do you feel about that? That's not Yankee-like, right? Oh, well, we can't do anything until we find a trade partner that's going to eat $5 million of Stroman's deal.
Yeah, it's frustrating. What I think gives me pause, though, in killing him on this, Keith, is the fact that, yeah, you know, I'm having some fun. Yeah, I would like to play this next year on the bench. But there's not a guy at this point where it's like, wow, you have to get him. You know what I mean? Like, if we were looking at the team and we were like, Bellinger, for argument's sake, is still out there. And you, now they traded for him, but let's say he was a free agent. It's like, wow, they have to get this guy. Why are they fooling around? Why are they nickel and diming? I'm okay with the idea of them trying to nickel and dime for now, because I don't see what the pieces that they're adding, if that makes sense. But they have to know that if the infield guys that are in this mix do not pan out, you got to be willing to come, okay, June and July, we got to get somebody in here. So that to me is going to be a storyline you'll see with the Yankees. I think they'll add a fringe infielder. I think it'll be open tryouts in spring training. I think you'll see a variety of different guys play the position. And I guess, according to Aaron, Jazz is going to play second base,
yeah,
which I find interesting because it's his natural position. He's going to be a better defender there. But at the same time, I wondered if the Yankees were looking at last year as like the beginning of kind of a career transformation for him, moving positions. I guess that's not a thing. But if these guys don't pan at third base, I can say without hesitation, and I'm sure you feel the same way, they will add a bat by June or July to play third base. They will do it.
Yeah, with Jazz, I think they just acquired the player. And you know, the first game he played in Boston, they put him in center field. And you remember they asked Glaber if he would, you know, move over to third base, take some reps at third base, and he said no. So they kind of just ended up, you know, Jazz was gung-ho. He got out of Miami to be on the Yankees. Like, yeah, whatever. I'll play third base. I think that's all it was. But they'd rather him go back to second base. And I don't know, there's a lot of times, like, that shortstop in him, you know, him kind of cutting in front of Volpe, I think he's better served at second base. I'm interested to see if he can become the leadoff hitter. Boone also mentioned a combination of him, Dominguez, and Belly. And what I'll say about him, he's done it before. When they got him at the trade deadline last year, I thought they were getting him to be the leadoff hitter. And then obviously Gleyber Torres emerged. Dominguez, I feel like it's too much to put on a 22-year-old kid in his first full season. Yeah, play left field. They said they're going to get him up to speed in left field and lead off for us. It's like, you're expecting this guy to be a star player, you know, 5 years after we, you know, got him at age 17. I feel like it's a lot. You got to kind of bring him along a little slower. What do you think about the combination of Belly, Jazz, Dominguez at the leadoff spot?
So it's interesting. You know, I thought the minute this offseason kind of got going, and as we progressed through December and January, I was like, okay, Dan Volpe in the leadoff spot for a good chunk of last year. They're going to go back to that. They're going to say, all right, Anthony, you're a speed guy. We want you to be an on-base guy. You're going to lead off. But you know what, Keith? I don't like Volpe in the leadoff spot.
Me either.
We saw last year. He, for whatever the reason, dude.
Leave him lower in the lineup.
More comfortable.
Yes.
Bingo. Keep him in that sixth spot. Let him cook in the middle back part of the lineup. The only thing with Volpe, he's got to steal more bases. I mean, with the rules being what they are, there's no excuse for him to have 25, 30 stolen bases. He should have 50 stolen bases rolling out of bed.
Yeah.
You know, like these rules now are so conducive to that. He's got to run. I understand your point with Dominguez. I totally get it. Like, you're thrusting him into an everyday role. It's something he's never done in the big leagues. To basically say, hey, not only are you going to be an everyday player, not only are you going to be playing a position that you haven't played for most of your career, but on top of that, you're going to lead off too. It's asking a lot.
Face everybody's ace. Bellinger, face everybody's starter every game. You be the first. You be the first batter against everybody's starting pitcher.
But you like the idea. Here's why I think they're toying with it. They like the idea that he can steal bases, and he's had a knack in the minor leagues for being good at getting on base. Mm-hmm. So, like, that profiles, you know, when you look for a leadoff hitter, you want a guy who gets on base, and you want a guy who steals bases. He should do that. I don't love Chisholm as a leadoff guy. You know what it is, Keith? He's not selective enough for me. I actually think Bellinger in that leadoff spot is a good fit. But the problem is, okay, if Bellinger's leading off, and you're going to hit Judge in the two-hole, who's protecting Aaron Judge? That's the question.
Goldie. No, it's not a good idea to put Goldschmidt there.
If it's 2022 Paul Goldschmidt, we're cooking with something, dude.
I don't know.
If it's last year's version of Paul Goldschmidt,
I would love it for him to turn back the clock, but we don't know. We don't know. And then Stanton and Wells.
You know what, though, Keith? I'll say this about Goldschmidt. I don't have the same vibe I did 2 years ago or 3 years ago when they made the move for Josh Donaldson. I think it's drastically, drastically different. Remember, that was the Yankees' big offseason move. It was the idea that Donaldson was going to ruffle some feathers. You know, there was a whole...
add some edge to the clubhouse. An agitator.
An edge. There you go. They were looking for an edge. There you go. That was the Cashman terminology. I forgot what he said. I don't think Goldschmidt profiles in that way. He's like the fifth or sixth move that they made. And you know this. You're out at the stadium every night. They got no production out of first base. I mean, zero production out of first base. Anthony Rizzo, love the guy. one of my last couple of years, he was one of my favorite Yankees because he's a gamer. I love his approach. He was totally shot last year. He had no power. He came back from the thumb injury. He battled in the postseason. He had a couple of big hits in the playoffs, but he couldn't hit the ball out of the infield.
Like, he struggled fielding his position. There were balls hit right at him he couldn't handle.
For a guy that used to be a premier, top-notch Gold Glove first baseman. So I think Goldschmidt, if your expectations are, hey, can he hit 20 to 25 bombs and hit 240, I think he'll meet those expectations. If your expectation is he going to go and be the MVP he was in 2022, what teams are going to be very disappointed if that's what you're hoping for?
Bro, I mention this all the time on air. Remember the night I came and I sat by, like, you, your sister, your whole family. It was like you, your sister,
oh,
your mom.
What a brutal game that was. Yes, that was the Cleveland game in August. That was a terrible game. When do you see extra inning games now? You know, with the extra inning rules, the way that they are, it's like the game is guaranteed to be over in the 10th inning. That game, I want to say, went like 12 or 13 innings.
I just pulled up the box score. The game went 12 innings. And when DJ didn't step on first, that's when I was like, all right, I'm leaving. I'm driving to the fan. I'm out of here. That game sucked.
No, you made a good decision that night. But little did I know, Keith, and little did you know, that it would not be the most painful, like, extreme. Obviously, we were going to make the playoffs. They were going to make the playoffs and whatnot. But, Keith, I was there at game five with my great producer, Stefan. And I've seen a lot of crap, man, going to games. And listen, the Yankees have not brought me a whole lot of misery. You know, the last couple of years they've added to that. You know, it's not been Dolphin level. It's not been New York Knicks level. Syracuse, you get my drift?
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I've never in my life, Keith, and I played on some crummy high school baseball teams, seen an inning as bad as that fifth inning. I still can't get over it, man. I can't.
I'm getting sick right now. It's too fresh still. I know exactly where I was. I've told this story about where I sat. I'll never go to section 133, row 5, ever again. That vantage point I had of Judge dropping that ball. And fans, remember the narrative on Twitter was fans are going to boo Aaron Judge if he doesn't show up. Not only did fans support him, when he dropped that ball in that section I was in left field, fans started chanting MVP, and I'm looking around like, are you guys crazy? You're not chanting MVP. I'm like, this is going to be bad. That's how a bad inning starts. And then it unraveled, and I'm head in hand. My wife's like, you want to leave? And I'm like, well, we're not leaving until we get this last out. And I was sure that they got the out with Mookie Betts, and Cole didn't cover, and Rizzo didn't run. And I'm like, this is a nightmare. I'm like, I'm never going to forget this as long as I live. This is terrible. I was like, I was sweating. It was like a warmer night, but like the way I was sweating.
Oh, it was a hot night. Yeah, dude, it was a very hot night.
It was
so eerie. I had a long sleeve on that night. I was sweating profusely. And you knew the minute that play at first base happened, Freddie Freeman's coming up and Teoscar Hernandez is coming up. And those guys own the Yankees. Freddie Freeman did it the whole World Series. And Teoscar, going back to his Blue Jays days, always gets big hits against them.
Yep.
You knew. Now, if you want a silver lining, Keith, I'll give you a silver lining. Because that game was painful. It's probably the most excruciating Yankee loss in person I've ever witnessed. But they would have gotten, or at least Rodon specifically, would have gotten absolutely annihilated in Game 6 in Los Angeles. I will take that. Let's be honest on this. Let's take that to the grave, okay? Does anybody think Rodon was going to Dodger Stadium and pitching his rear end off? No way.
No, I was expecting him to probably give up 4 or 5 runs, but Judge was unlocked. Man, Judge and Jazz back-to-back was a dream in the stadium. The way that the stadium erupted.
Oh, it was
for them.
Electric.
I don't know if 100%. I've been in there for a bigger moment. And then even the Stanton homer, I'm like, dude, we're doing it. We're about to go back to Cali. You know what I actually figured out talking about it on The Fan and going back to the box score? That inning started with a Kike Hernandez single to right. It was Juan Soto's negative energy. It was Juan Soto touching the ball. As soon as Juan Soto touched the ball, he was 1 foot out the door. He was in his head thinking about his Boris Korp speech. Oh, I'm available to all 30 teams, you know? So that negative energy started with Juan Soto. He wasn't for the team. He didn't want to go back to L.A. He wanted to go into free agency because he was one day closer to being the richest man in the sport and becoming a man.
He was thinking about that family suite. They're going to have it Citi Field next year, you know? Maybe we'll get invited for the Subway Series. We'll see.
No, I don't. People invited me to suites at Citi Field for the NLCS, and I declined. This is not my party. It's not my kind of. I can't show up there. Not for that. Not for the NLCS. That's not for me. That invite returns to sender.
No, I get it, dude. I get it and also the way it worked with the playoffs, and hopefully. We'll have this again this year because last year was so much fun. We basically, you know how my pod schedule works. I do a couple of pods a week, but I mean, we were churning one out every night after these games between the Yankees and the Mets. And, you know, there were some riveting moments, man. I mean, from the Alonso home run or even go back to game 161 with Lindor and then the Philly series and then the Yankees and Cleveland and those games in Cleveland were off the rails.
Yeah.
It was as fun. Obviously, it didn't go the way that you wanted it to go and the way I wanted it to go in October in the World Series, but it really was a great month of content, man. It was so much fun every day, you know, lacing them up, getting ready to talk about these games. I mean, I'm sure you felt the same way, but it was wild.
To go from 2023 with neither team in the postseason to have the postseason run we had, it was the exact response. Well, not exact response, but it was such a needed response, like the year after, to have the Mets and the Yankees be in the final four teams and have big moments and to be able to go to the games and cover the games and talk to fans and live in it. Like, you love baseball. You're in New York. The city is on fire. Like, I'm in my apartment. I'm watching the Mets play the Phillies, and, like, I'm on my way to Yankee Stadium, or, you know, I'm going to a watch party for the Yankees. Like, it was a crazy time. Hopefully we get more of that for years to come. Hopefully it's consistent, like, every October, like it should be. Baseball needs the Mets and the Yankees to be in it. It just looks right.
It sure does. It would be nice if the football teams could go and cooperate and give us some of that. But I don't know, Keith. I wouldn't be holding my breath.
Nah, I doubt it, man. And I know, like me, you're not a Jets fan or a Giants fan. And, I mean, they're both just in, like, a spot where, like, we don't know. There's so much uncertainty. We don't know who's going to quarterback the Giants. We don't know what the Jets coach is going to do. Is he going to be like all the other failed coaches, or he's going to be the one to change? And it's just so long, right? We just came off of, you know, the playoffs, and we're in this, like, waiting period for the Super Bowl. New York football, and like, even me, this is my fourth year being on WFAN, and I'm like, it's never fun. It's never good. Here we are again talking about who they're going to draft in the first, you know, 10 picks of the draft.
Think about this for a minute, Keith, with the Jets specifically. I started FAN. We talked about when I left in 2021. I started in 2011. So that's now 14 years of working in the city in the business, from FAN to the Ringer to obviously doing stuff at SNY. Do you realize in that time, which is now dating myself, dude, I'm getting up there, getting grayer, getting older, I have not seen in my professional broadcasting New York career one Jet playoff game. I have not discussed and broken down and dissected one Jet playoff game. How about that?
Has there been a home Giants playoff game? I'm trying to go back for that. I know the Giants.
Yes. My first year at the Fan, they won the Super Bowl, the Giants. That was the second, because I remember I did
2011.
Friday,
yeah, but I'm like.
And I did a couple of Saturdays, too, so I was starting to do more shifts at that time.
They went to Philly, they went to Minnesota, they went to Green
Atlanta.
Bay.
Bingo, that was a great run. Eli, hey, that run, Keith, is going to get Eli Manning into Canton, Ohio, and get him in the Hall of Fame.
For
that
sure.
That run specifically. Because if he only had one, he would not be getting in the Hall of Fame. The second one got him in the Hall of Fame.
To knock off Brady twice. And to knock off the undefeated team, there's, in my opinion, no way. I had a caller saying, you know, I'm a Giants fan, but I don't believe Eli's a Hall of Famer. I'm like, well, he is. Like, you know why, right? Like, It's pretty obvious on top of the family name and everything else. How you feel about Pete Alonso at this point? Get your thought in, but I know I could do this all night. I don't want to keep you for too long, but go ahead.
No, listen, here's the thing I'd say about Manning. Sunday to Sunday in the regular season, that caller's point about, wow, he didn't wow you like Peyton Manning. It's true. He doesn't wow you the way, you know, Aaron Rodgers would. That's true. But we now, in judging the sport, look so much at those iconic moments. The Giant wins over the Patriots, Keith. Those are iconic moments. And he did it twice. Like, you and I both know, Belichick, greatest coach we're going to see in our lifetimes. Unless Andy Reid surpasses him. But you get my drift. Brady, greatest quarterback we've seen in our lifetimes. Until Mahomes passed him and whatnot. Eli beat him twice. Case closed. Getting in the Hall of Fame.
And the throws that he made, it's just like, as hard as it is for these quarterbacks to consistently show up, a Justin Herbert, you know what I'm saying, a Jordan Love, these guys get paid all this money, but then in crunch time they can't get it done. For Eli to answer the bell the way he did, the throw to, you know, Tyree, really the throw to Mario Manningham, and like just managing the game and keeping the game close and like keeping his head on. Like anyway, I want to get a couple more things in with you, just New York sports wise, before I let you go. Pete Alonso in this saga, man. It is, like, I thought it was going to be done today. I'm staring at the reflection of Boomer Esiason in here with an L around his neck because Boomer came out and said that Pete Alonso would be signed by tomorrow, which was today, and I don't see any breaking news, but, like, I think all roads lead back to Queens, and it's just crazy how we've gone through Amazing Day and Cohen speaking out and Boris, another Boris client. Like, what do you think about Pete Alonso at this point? Signing with the Mets and, you know, what kind of deal he's going to get and what it's going to even, like, look like or feel like next year.
Well, I flip-flopped on it, like, 10 zillion times because in early January, I'm like, all right, this guy's coming back. Where else is he going? Then all the reports came out, what was it, two and a half weeks ago regarding, hey, they're done. They're not talking anymore. The Mets are moving on. Yet here we are, Keith, it's February, and Pete Alonso still doesn't have a home. The Mets need a power bat and need a first baseman. And Pete Alonso needs the Mets. It just makes too much sense at this point. I'm going to be asked about it for the 10 zillionth time on SNY in about an hour and 15 minutes. So, you know, it's something that I'm sure you're sick of talking about. The Mets fan is sick of talking about it. But, yeah, I think at the end of the day, Alonso ends up back. I thought he'd be gone 2 weeks ago. Now I'm thinking, all right, the price has come down. He'll end up crawling back through the door. He'll be a Met.
All right, man. I'm not going to hold you any longer. You know, give my love to your wife. I know you're expecting. Can you give us any updates? How's that going?
Yeah, we're fired up, man. Early May. I guess I should get my sleep in now. I'm going to be very sleep deprived. So, yeah, early May. We are not finding out the gender, by the way.
Good.
We're going to have a little surprise.
That's going to add to it. It's going to be even more exciting. My birthday's May 1st. Maybe you'll get a Taurus. You'll get a
Taurus like me, Keith. I'm a Taurus.
Oh, that's
I'm
right.
A 15th, buddy. That's right. Man, Taurus season, man.
You're going to have
Caroline is the Taurus, though.
You're going to have a wild summer. You're going to have an interesting summer. My God.
It won't be the Jersey Shore and the Hamptons or 5 days a week on the golf course. But, yeah, rewarding stuff, no question.
Yeah, you've done all of that. Now you're going to do the dad stuff. You're going to be a great dad. You guys are going to be great parents.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate that, man. That's kind of you to say.
JJ, thanks for joining me tonight. I appreciate you, bro.
Keith, anytime, man. I would say I'll see you at the stadium. I was thinking I'd see you in New Orleans. I'm trying to find people to play golf with me when I get down there on Saturday. Rosenberg, get your butt down in New Orleans. Anytime, Keith.
They only send Boomer and Gio. You gotta play golf with Boomer and Gio and Al Dukes and Recco.
Oh, I may have to. Well, the problem is, Keith, as you know, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you're working like a madman. Like you're doing ten zillion spots.
Radio Row.
You know, I'm doing the TV.
All
yeah,
the media
doing the TV
stuff.
Shows on FanDuel. But then after Friday, schedule opens up a little bit. It's going to be warm. I haven't swung in 2 months. I got to work out the kinks, my man.
I know you'll find a way. I know you'll find a way.
We try, bro. We try.
Jamie, thanks, be Keith. Good,
I'll
man.
I'll talk to you, bud.
Later. 888-808-1019. JJ After Dark. Good guy. That's my guy. That's Paulie's guy. You guys know him. I'm actually like, I got to get back into swinging on the simulator. I'm actually scheduled to play with JJ and everybody else in the David Cone golf outing this spring. I dodged one last year because it rained out. I definitely wasn't ready to play, but I'm like, nah, I got to be ready to play. My swing is not there, but at least I feel confident, like, stepping up, lining up, and hitting the ball. But I got to get back to it.
You haven't swung a driver at a golf course.
No, haven't been on a course.
It's not in front of people.
I've taken hundreds of swings at the simulator, you know, and hitting the screen.
But not in front of people, live on a tee.
Being in front of people is not going to matter. I'm not going to embarrass
when
myself.
You are,
even if I suck, I'm not going to get nervous.
Right. I golf. I don't golf well. I embrace that I'm not good, but I can at least hit the ball straight and advance it, which is way better than I was doing previously. But when you're up on that tee and you put that tee ball down and maybe you can't get the tee in the ground all the way.
And
maybe
guys are rushing ball, you and they're like...
And maybe the ball keeps falling off the tee and you have CeCe Sabathia and David Cone and JJ and all these Yankee players that you love watching on a mound and on TV and they're 3 feet next to you laughing at you because you can't get the tee in the ground.
I don't know how people drink and golf. I don't know how people are knocking down beers and cocktails and how...
Oh, it's very easy, trust me. It is very easy to do that, Gabe.
Fast forward, give me 5 years and I'll probably be just like that.